Good mornings, I'm Chris Oakes, and coming up today, unsurprisingly, the president's speech to Congress earlier this week generated strong reaction on both sides. A new poll from the BGSU Democracy and Public Policy Research Network examines voter satisfaction with the outcome of the November election, and a very early reading on the upcoming governor's race and midterms. We'll dig into the numbers. Also this morning, happening around town, the Hancock County Veterans Service Office is hosting their Spring Empowerment Fair this weekend, highlighting resources available to serve those who serve. And we have another collection of recipes from Kyra's Kitchen. This is the Good Mornings Podcast Edition for Friday, March 7th, 2025. So in addition to springing forward this weekend, the time change and all that, you know what else is going on this weekend? International Women's Day is tomorrow. International Women's Day tomorrow. And I thought this was kind of interesting, the story on the Newswire. While International Women's Day celebrates advancements in women's accomplishments, women's rights, that kind of thing, the gender pay gap has still not been closed. In fact, according to the U.S. Census Bureau, the gender pay gap has actually worsened for the first time in 20 years. But according to new research from Talker Research, a new poll from Talker Research, 21% of American men do not believe that the gender pay gap exists. They don't think it's a thing. Men, 21, one in five men think that there is no such thing as the gender pay gap. According to Dr. Tara Salinas, what I have found is that people, men in particular, are often surprised by the things that women are subjected to at work. And the gender pay gap is just one example. It does exist. In fact, it has worsened for the first time in 20 years. Women earn an average of 83 cents for every dollar a white man earned in 2023. And it is an even wider gap for minorities. African-American women earn 66 cents and Hispanic women earn 58 cents to the dollar. Research has found that companies also lose money due to turnover related to women seeking jobs that don't have as wide of a pay gap. So it's hurting companies, not just hurting women, but hurting companies as well. Just kind of interesting. That blew my mind that one in five men don't believe that the gender pay gap is a thing. By the way, speaking of Women's Day, this is actually the second Saturday of the month tomorrow, and every second Saturday in downtown Findlay, they spotlight locally owned businesses and encourage people. This is a thing from Visit Findlay and the Chamber, encourage folks to shop locally owned businesses on the second Saturday. It's sort of like Small Business Saturday right after Black Friday during the Christmas season, but they do it all year on the second Saturday of the month. So highlighting locally owned businesses. And because this second Saturday also falls on International Women's Day, it is the perfect time, they say, to support the many women-owned businesses that bring so much passion, creativity, and energy to the downtown area. There are more women-owned businesses downtown Findlay than maybe what you might realize. But this weekend, particularly tomorrow, second Saturday, make a concerted effort to get out and patronize not just locally owned businesses, but locally owned women-owned businesses. So interesting. One would think that there is not a gender pay gap in a women-owned business, but I don't know. Maybe there is, too. I really don't know. I thought that was interesting. So the World Cup is returning to the United States next year, and this announcement made, I guess, yesterday. I heard about it yesterday. I don't know when they made this decision, but it was announced yesterday. I heard about it yesterday. The 2026 World Cup final will feature a halftime show first time ever that they have done a halftime show, kind of like the Super Bowl, but at the World Cup. FIFA president Gianni Infantino made the announcement on Wednesday, I guess, is when he made the announcement. But I heard about it on during the day yesterday. I was perusing my Google News feed. It was a Super Bowl halftime show at the World Cup. The final of next year's tournament set to be played at MetLife Stadium in New Jersey. And FIFA says that they will be finalizing a list of artists to perform at halftime very soon. They are also planning performances for a Times Square takeover for the bronze medal and the final matches next year for the World Cup. Super Bowl style halftime show at the World Cup. Kind of interesting. Well, you know, if you're going to do the World Cup in the United States, what is that old saying? Win in Rome? Or in this case, win in New York? You do it kind of like the Americans do it. The big all-out flashy halftime show. I wonder who they'll get to perform at halftime of the World Cup. It's kind of interesting. Let's see. A couple of other items here among the first things that you need to know, the most interesting and buzzworthy stories of the day. Finalists for this year's World Video Game Hall of Fame have been revealed. If you are a gamer, this may be of interest to you. The 12 finalists for induction into the World Video Game Hall of Fame in 2025 are Age of Empires, Angry Birds, Call of Duty 4, Modern Warfare, Defender, Frogger, GoldenEye, Golden Tee, Harvest Moon, Mattel Football, Quake, NBA 2K, and Tamagotchi. Those are the 12 finalists for the World Video Game Hall of Fame. I gotta think Defender and Frogger have to be there. How many quarters? I mean, I'm dating myself. How many quarters did all of us lose in our childhood playing Defender and Frogger? That's the least they can do is put it in the Video Game Hall of Fame. I'd hate to think that all of those quarters that I shoveled into those arcade machines were in vain. At least let's get them in the Hall of Fame. You know what I mean? That's pretty wild. Some of those others I recognize too, but many just passed me by. Once the age of Atari was, the Nintendo came out, and I was, you know, it was above my head. But but I recognize a few of those. And by the way, speaking of technology, new emoji are coming out soon. iOS users will discover new emoji or emojis. What is the plural of emoji? Is it emoji? Is it just emoji or is it emojis? Anyway, emoji just sounds better to me. So that's what I'll go with. iOS users will discover new emoji when they update to version 18.4. The new emoji include a face with bags under the eyes. It's taken too long for them to come up with one of those. Also, a fingerprint. That's a good one. A leafless tree. A root vegetable. A harp. A shovel. And splatter. Splatter. Again, there are some of those. I'm actually a little surprised we don't have emoji for those things already. New emoji, they say, are also already being developed for next year. And some of the ones they're working on, a hairy creature, an apple core, a trombone, and a treasure chest. So that's what we have to look forward to. But yeah, face with bags under the eyes and a fingerprint and splatter among the new emoji coming for iOS users. Those are not official emoji just for iOS users, but you got to figure eventually they'll make it into the official collection of emoji. And lastly here, among the first things that you need to know, the most interesting and buzzworthy stories of the day, again, related to technology, something to think about, because it seems like one of the popular things for Lent this year, we're into the Lenten season. One of the popular things this year is giving up social media. I've talked to a lot of people who are giving up social media for Lent, and it's not easy. Researchers at Durham University have mapped out how our brains respond to social media use, and they used Instagram as their social media platform of choice for this study. They found that brief moments of Instagram engagement triggers a reward-based rush in our brain, and closing the app triggers a stress response. Dr. Nicholas Issen said scrolling away on Instagram led to a marked slowing of participants' heart rate, while at the same time increasing their sweating response. But when participants were forced to stop using the app, their heart rates increased, and they reported increases in stress and anxiety. They theorize through this study that social media is tapping into our basic human needs of wanting to belong and to be liked. And that is why it's so, we get this rush when we're in scrolling through our social media feed, and we have, you know, the kind of the stress and anxiety of withdrawal when we get rid of it, when we sign off. That's why it's so tough to quit social media for Lent. So I guess knowing about it may make it a little bit easier to manage your psychological response to giving up social media. Something to think about there. There you go. Some of the most interesting and buzzworthy stories to get your Friday morning started.
WFIN News, I'm Matt Demchek. Your WTOL 11 weather. A chance of rain or snow today with a high around 40. Rain and snow possible tonight, low in the 20s. The Ohio Turnpike is warning people of a tech scam that's circulating across the country.
We're talking about those toll payment reminders. The text will say you have an unpaid bill and need to pay it to avoid late fees. This text is a scam that's hitting people nationwide. The Ohio Turnpike responded to this scam and said they don't send texts requesting payments for unpaid tolls. They will send three invoices by mail.
ONN's Yolanda Harris reporting. Habitat for Humanity of Findlay Hancock County's Financial Opportunity Center will be hosting a Bridges Out of Poverty workshop. The workshop is a nationally recognized comprehensive approach to understanding the dynamics that cause and perpetuate poverty in a community. Dustin Fuller, manager of Habitat's Financial Opportunity Center, says anyone interested in elevating others in our community will benefit from the course. He said the training provided insights that continue to influence his work and strengthen his relationships with families each and every day, helping him build empathy and awareness of the challenges faced by individuals in poverty. While the workshop is free and open to the public, seating is limited to 50 people. Get more in this story on our website. The Hancock County Veterans Service Office says the upcoming Veterans Empowerment Spring Fair is an opportunity for area veterans and their families and friends to learn about local resources, helpful organizations, and employment opportunities. A wide range of organizations will have informational booths with representatives available for visitors to talk with about their programs. There will also be a performance from Guitars for Vets. The Veterans Empowerment Spring Fair will be held on Saturday at Owens Community College on Bright Road in Findlay from 10 to 2 inside the Community Education and Wellness Center. The free event is open to the public. Get more details about it in this story on our website. Remember, you can get more news online anytime at WFIN.com.
So this week, the Democracy and Public Policy Research Network in the Department of Political Science at Bowling Green State University released the results of a poll conducted last month, giving us a reading on voter satisfaction with the outcome of the November election and a very early reading on the upcoming governor's race and midterm elections. And joining us this morning is the founding director of the Democracy and Public Policy Research Network at BGSU, Dr. Robert Alexander. And Rob, generally speaking, in looking at the results of this poll, Ohioans don't seem to have any buyer's remorse when it comes to those they voted into office in this most recent election cycle.
Yeah, so Ohio, after years of being a key battleground state, there was some question as to whether or not it has shifted right, and it absolutely shifted right. I mean, we were 10 points to the right of the country in the selection of Donald Trump as our president. And you're right. You know, public opinion is stronger for Trump in Ohio than it is across the country right now. He is at 50%, so a bare majority approve of the job that he's doing in the state.
Yeah.
And that's a little bit lower across the country. So people are a little bit more favorable in Ohio than they are across the country. But yeah, Trump is certainly seen positively, as are Republicans in the state.
That being said, Ohioans do seem to recognize, as you were alluding to, that this is a very polarizing administration. In the case of both Donald Trump and J.D. Vance, respondents had strong feelings either way and not much in the middle.
Absolutely. And the reality is Democrats are seeing the world through blue lenses. Republicans are seeing the world through red lenses. And independents are the swing folks there. If you take a look at the policy proposals that we polled, you would see the Democrats are on one side of it, Republicans are on another side of it. If you see a majority of Ohioans that support something, that's because independents have swung in that direction. Mm-hmm. If you see that a majority has support or opposes a policy, that's because independents have swung in that direction. And so there is some distinctions in some of those Trump policy proposals, and most of that is being determined by where independents stand.
And to that end, it does seem like independents are still, I mean, maybe not the driving force in Ohio, as you mentioned. I mean, it is a reliably red state now, but there still are significant numbers of independents who can sway the overall feeling on some of those policy positions. I mean, you've got, I was a little surprised that there weren't greater levels of support for some of those positions. You got the most support on issues like border security and gender identity. And then beyond that, there were a much wider range of feelings among Ohioans.
Yeah, it's certainly mixed. And I think that is interesting. I mean, you know, on whether or not, the federal government recognizes that there's two sexes. A lot of support there in Ohio for that. But on things like changing the Gulf of Mexico to the Gulf of America,
right,
majority do not support that. Mm. TikTok ban, unless it's sold to China, yeah, majority support that. But something like, birthright citizenship, for example. So we did something kind of interesting, I think, is we asked our sample two different forms of a question and divided our sample up evenly, randomly. And if you give people a little bit more information on a topic, they see the topic a little bit differently. And so how narratives are constructed around those policies also have an effect, certainly, on how people view those policies.
And that really speaks to politics in general. It's important, I think, for people to recognize that the way you frame an argument really has a significant effect on how much support you will have for that argument.
Absolutely. So for instance, on one half of the sample, we asked, do you favor amnesty for undocumented immigrants? And not a lot of support for that.
Yeah.
Do you favor protecting people who are fleeing persecution, as undocumented immigrants? Mm-hmm. Much more support for that.
Yeah.
And so which is essentially amnesty. So, how you frame those things, certainly important. And, Donald Trump has the megaphone right now, and Democrats are certainly in a bit of disarray in how they respond to that. So, if you're able to have that megaphone and make that case, mm-hmm. Democrats have to figure out, how do they respond to the things that they don't like about what Trump's doing,
which has always been the case, but now perhaps even more than ever. By the way, you also did ask about the topic of tariffs, and Ohioans appear to view tariffs on China much more favorably than on Canada and Mexico.
Yeah. So, I mean, the tariff question, 10% levy against China, which is on an additional 10%, but it was 10%. Ohioans pretty supportive of that.
Yeah.
But they were not supportive of the 25% tariffs on Mexico and Canada. And the poll was in the field as much of that conversation was being had. So it's certainly something that that people are aware of. And that was one of those where we asked, you know, one sample, you know, otherwise known as a import tax, and the other one we just said is a tariff. And we didn't see any difference there. So they clearly not very favorable toward the major tariff against Mexico and Canada.
Yeah. Turning to the state level, I thought it was interesting that there was more trust in the president than there was in the governor among Ohioans.
And that's a huge change from when I conducted some polling a few years back with DeWine. And that's a major change that we've seen. But the reality is there's not a lot of trust in virtually any institution of government right now.
Yeah.
People are pretty sour on government. And so a lot of that's being driven by Trump supporters showing their favorability toward him. And not a lot of Democrats and independents necessarily pushing toward DeWine either.
Yeah. Obviously, it's very early, but the poll did confirm kind of the general consensus that Vivek Ramaswamy is the front runner for the Republican gubernatorial nomination.
You know, one of the things that was really fascinating is we have a stable of Republicans in Ohio that have been around and have been in elective office for a decade.
Yeah.
You know, the John Houstons of the world and others. And a lot of Ohioans don't have much of an opinion on those people. Ramaswamy has been on the national stage. He received the endorsement of Trump, early endorsement of Trump. And he is the one that people know of and appear to support among Republican primary voters. And so he has to be the favorite at this point.
Maybe demonstrating the influence that Donald Trump has on Republicans in Ohio. It does appear as though Ohio Democrats would like to see Sherrod Brown jump in the race.
They would like to. You know, Sherrod Brown is the most recognizable of the Democrats that we polled. And, you know, we polled him at the governor's level. And we included him with Tim Ryan, who recently ran for Senate, and Amy Acton, who's declared. And, you know, Sherrod Brown was the clear favorite. When we asked it just between Acton and Tim Ryan, it was essentially even.
Yeah.
One interesting point, Chris, I'd point out is, you know, Jim Trussell just entered the fray as our lieutenant governor appointed by DeWine. And some people are kind of floating his name as a potential gubernatorial candidate to perhaps jump in with Yost and Ramaswamy. And I was shocked. A majority of Ohioans don't have much of an opinion on Trussell, on his favorability, but those that do have a favorable opinion of him by a 2-1 margin. He doesn't have a long track record, obviously, in politics,
right,
which is actually a good thing because he can create that page for people. So, you know, if it's not going to be Ramaswamy, I think this is one of the questions that kind of the more centrist Republicans that are out there might be looking to as a draft Trussell candidacy.
And you mentioned Husted in Ohio's upcoming Senate race. Remember, the governor DeWine said in picking John Husted to fill J.D. Vance's seat that one of the criteria he considered was to put someone in that position that could win the election. And at least according to the poll, it appears he did just that.
Yes. Husted, who, again, longtime person in Ohio politics, still, a lot of people don't necessarily know who he is, but he is his lead against all of the folks that we put him against was outside the margin of error. Notably, he's not over 50%. It's 2 years early. Of course, we're trying to take a look to see, you know, what kinds of changes we might see over time. But he seems to be in a pretty comfortable position. If the headwinds change against Republicans in this state, against Donald Trump, then, you know, it potentially could be a competitive race, depending on who gets into the race for Democrats. Too.
Yeah. As you mentioned, it's still very, very early, but it will be interesting based on kind of this benchmark at this point to see how things change moving forward. Again, Dr. Robert Alexander is the founding director of the Democracy and Public Policy Research Network at Bowling Green State University. Their latest poll just out on kind of the sentiment of Ohioans as to where we are politically on the national and state stage. Dr. Alexander, thanks very much for taking the time. We appreciate it.
Thanks for chatting with me, Chris.
So happening around town tomorrow, the Hancock County Veterans Service Office hosting their Spring Empowerment Fair, highlighting resources available to serve those who have served. That's kind of their motto. Ed Newton is with us. He is Resiliency Operations Manager for the Hancock County Veterans Service Office. And Ed, this is something that you do kind of seasonally, and it's not just about the Veterans Service Office. Obviously, you will have resources there to speak with veterans about the services that you offer their veteran services, but also a number of resource booths from various entities around the community.
That's correct, Chris. We're having right around 33 booths every show we put on here. And the booths focus on anything from wellness to finances, home improvement, growth, life resources. We put a pretty good mix together, and we mix it up from event to event. So there's always something fresh.
So what are some of the, I don't mean to put you on the spot. Like you said, there are maybe more than two dozen that will be there, so we can't necessarily highlight them all. But what are some of the resources that will be available at this one tomorrow?
Well, we always like seeing our veteran partners in the VA. They'll be there to answer any questions. And locally, places like Hancock Parks will be there. NAMI will be there. 50 North. Places like that are real beneficial to the community. We try to get those people in, and yeah.
And this is open to all veterans, their families, even the general public, welcome to attend.
Absolutely, yep. Open to the public, and we encourage people to come out and see what's going on in the veteran community, and intermingle a little bit with the veterans and their families, and just come out and do a little networking and a little, meeting people, and it's always a good time.
It also is very important for the veterans, as we mentioned, and we've talked about it before, to take the opportunity to speak with the folks from the Veterans Service Office about, where they are, their own particular situation, what resources and programs you might be able to provide directly through the Veterans Service Office.
Absolutely. So many times we see veterans later in life even come in, and they weren't even aware that these benefits existed. And they went their whole life without the benefits that they've earned and deserve. And, we encourage the young veterans to get in here and see what they've earned and go get it. And, again, so many times veterans think, well, I've still got all of my limbs. I'm okay. Give the benefits to someone else who needs them more. Mm-hmm. Well, that's not how it works. The benefits are set up that if you use them, you use them. If you don't, they go unused. They don't. Another veteran won't get more because you didn't use yours.
Yeah. And again, we've talked about it in the past. It bears repeating that situations can change. Programs will change over time. One's own situation may change. So even if you've spoken with a resource officer about your particular situation in the past, it's always good to revisit where you are now and see if, there are some changes in programs that might be available.
Yeah, that's correct. And we suggest every 2 to 3 years at minimum coming in, because, your health may change, your finances may change, the laws may change.
Yeah.
And so, which all affects eligibility. And the VA is always improving their eligibility and making a bigger list of things that veterans are eligible for.
And almost as like a prime example of that, obviously, in the news just this week, there's been talk of changes at the VA in terms of staffing levels and so on. I'm sure if you haven't already gotten questions, you will, and the folks at the VA will get those number of those questions this weekend. How concerning is it to see all of these changes? And I would imagine that you, like most everybody else, are just kind of waiting to see where the dust settles on this.
Yep, absolutely. We are. And I know a lot of the changes that are taking place with the VA don't have to deal directly with healthcare, primary healthcare, things like that. So, yeah, just waiting to see where it all falls and how it will affect us.
And I'm sure that those will be a big topic of conversation, especially for the folks at the VA with the new Findlay Clinic opening here just not all that long ago, about where things go from here. Now, also should mention for veterans who show up, you have free lunch, you've got prize drawings, a lot of goodies for those veterans as well.
Yeah, we do. And the prize drawing, this is the first year for that. We're starting with something new and fresh, and there's going to be a lot of little gifts given away and prizes. And yeah, come out and see us. You know, you might win one. We're even going to give a couple gifts away to the exhibitors, too, because they get through a lot of hard work to go out there. And just because they're not a veteran doesn't mean they shouldn't get a chance to win.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. So give us all of the details. As we mentioned, this is happening tomorrow and it's out at Owens Community College, correct?
Absolutely. Out at Owens Community College in the FCE building, the Wellness Center. Event starts at 10 a.m. and runs through 2 p.m. We've got AWOL, the Guitar Chevettes band, will be putting on a little show at 11 o'clock. Lunch will be served at noon. And a lot of fellowship and resource booth exploration throughout the show.
And again, as we mentioned, geared primarily to veterans, but also their families and really everybody in the general public invited out to see all of the resources that are available specifically for veterans, and then how veterans can make use of a number of services that are available to the general public as well. And if folks cannot attend tomorrow, we would encourage them to reach out directly to the Veterans Service Office.
Yeah, absolutely. You can call our office at 419-424-7036. We're also online at HancockVeterans.com, or we have a fabulous Facebook page you can visit.
We have a link up for more information about the Spring Empowerment Fair that is happening tomorrow, and more information from the Veterans Service Office. And again, Ed Newton, Resiliency Operations Manager of the Hancock County Veterans Service Office, with us this morning with a preview. Ed, thanks very much for taking the time. We appreciate it.
Thanks for having us, Chris.
This is Good Mornings with Chris Oakes on 1330 WFIN, WFIN.com, and 95.5 FM.
We interrupt this program to bring you a broken news alert.
Once again, kind of a light day in the broken news. This week has been kind of like that. Some days are like that. We don't have a whole lot of dumb criminals in the news. This actually is not a dumb criminal. May be a story of a dumb law enforcement officer, however. Julio Trio, he's from Homestead, Florida, and he claims, Julio does, he claims he was set up by his ex and the police officer she was dating, leading to a false arrest. Mr. Trio was arrested for violating a restraining order, but he now says that the detective on his ex-girlfriend's case, Pedro Perez, the Homestead Police Force, was romantically involved with his ex. His attorney saying, "This officer sold his badge and he sold out the integrity of the police department to satisfy himself romantically." Apparently, Mr. Trio shared some text messages that were obtained through a public records request. One text included Officer Perez saying to Mr. Trio's ex-girlfriend, "So do you want me to try and get him before next Friday?" And his ex responds, "Can you do it Friday morning? That way he misses his hearing and the judge will grant the restraining order." So a little bit of collusion there. That's not good. Homestead Police released a statement saying that the matter is subject to pending litigation and they will not comment further. So, see how that goes. That could be rather dangerous. Your ex is dating a cop. You could be in trouble with the law, as it turns out. Wow. elsewhere in the broken news, the odd and unusual side is, again, not a whole lot of dumb criminals necessarily, but it is certainly some eyebrow-raising stories. Like, have you heard of the world's first vegetable orchestra? Yes, that's right. The world's first vegetable orchestra is actually, becoming very popular. They have played 344 concerts over the course of 27 years. They've been around for almost three decades. How am I just now hearing about the world's first vegetable orchestra? It is an 11-piece orchestra that was founded in 1999 in Vienna, after musicians had the idea of carving veggies into instruments. The founding member of the founder of the first vegetable orchestra, Matthias Meinharter, says, "We were making soup together at the time, and one idea led to another." The vegetable orchestra was born. Instruments include recorders carved from carrots, mandolins made of leeks. The only problem is that they have to constantly rebuild their instruments because they only last about 6 hours before the vegetables go bad, and then they have to carve out new ones. So they're only good really for one concert. Then they have to remake all of their instruments. World's first vegetable orchestra. There's got to be video of this, right? How am I just now learning about the world's first vegetable orchestra? Where have I been for the past 27 years? Well, this is not good. A new study published in the journal Science says that butterflies are disappearing at a worrisome pace in the U.S. According to this study, total populations, the total butterfly population has declined by over 20% in the past 20 years. Lead author of the study says in a statement that the numbers should be a wake-up call. Is this a big thing? Number of butterflies going away? I don't know what in the world could be happening here, but apparently we're all going to die. We're doomed because butterflies are disappearing at an alarming pace. I just want to make sure that you were aware of this. Make sure you are completely up to speed, up to date, and all of the big news of the day. Now, this is just wrong. This is just wrong. If your favorite part of playing Monopoly is watching the people that you would ordinarily consider your friends disparagingly, begrudgingly handing over their hard-earned multicolor money after landing on the hotels you build on Boardwalk, then you're not going to like this at all. Hasbro has announced the launch of Monopoly App Banking, described as an app-assisted Monopoly game. According to a press release from Hasbro, the app eliminates the need for physical cash and money counting. We've been talking about for decades the possibility that a cashless society is coming, and apparently it is now here. Monopoly even has gone cashless. Of course, now the classic Monopoly game with all of the tangible fake money still exists for those who always insist on having cash, somebody being the banker. But you can actually get a Monopoly game that has gone cashless now. Wow. That's just wrong. That's just wrong. I don't know that I've been this outraged since they got rid of the thimble as the... Briefly. You remember that one? That was a big deal. It got rid of some of the old icons, playing pieces. Had to bring those back. I don't know. Cashless Monopoly. What is the world coming to? And finally, in the broken news this morning, I thought this was kind of an amusing story from the CBC in Canada, the official broadcaster of the nation of Canada. CBC reports that a wildlife photographer named Mervyn Sakura has captured photos of a Canadian goose fighting off an attack from a bald eagle. The fight took place on the ice of Canada's LaSalle Marina. The photographer, Mr. Sakura, says the eagle swooped down on the goose before the goose fought back, and the eagle ended up flying away. We thought initially it was really over for the goose, but the bald eagle eventually just gave up and left. The goose was spared that day. He caught all of this on film, saying that he didn't really mean for the photos to be political, and he thought of the encounter as simply an example of how nature works. But others couldn't help but notice the symbolism of the Canadian goose fighting off the official bird of the United States. And how it aligns to the strained relationship between the United States and Canada right now. Canadian goose in Canada fighting off the bald eagle. Everybody is reading a lot into this. Photographer says that's not what it was meant to depict, but, you know, everybody sees things differently. There you go. That is today's Broken News Report. Update on the odd and unusual side of the headlines. We now return you to your regularly scheduled programming.
You want local sports? You've got lots of it at the WFIN Sports Archive. Play or download the Coach's Corner shows, plus games from your favorite teams, the Finley Trojans, the BBC, and Ottawa Glandorf. You have the power of local sports at your fingertips with the Sports Audio Archive. Check it out by clicking Game Audio Archive under the Sports tab at WFIN.com.
And now your daily download, the numbers behind the news and the statistics that shape our lives. So tomorrow is the second Saturday, and we mentioned this a little bit earlier. Downtown Findlay, second Saturday of each month, is a day to highlight locally owned businesses downtown. Downtown Findlay does this every month. It's kind of like the same concept of Small Business Saturday after Black Friday during the Christmas season, but the second Saturday of every month, they highlight the importance of locally owned businesses. And since this month, the second Saturday, falls on International Women's Day tomorrow, it is the perfect time to support, particularly, and highlight and promote women-owned businesses downtown. And there are quite a few of them, probably more than maybe what you might realize. So this weekend, tomorrow particularly, second Saturday, in International Women's Day, they're encouraging you to support the many women-owned businesses downtown that bring so much passion, creativity, and energy to the downtown area. And the reason I mention that is because our daily download this morning, according to a new survey conducted by Talker Research, new poll, women who own small businesses feel more fulfilled than those who are working 9-to-5 jobs. This was a poll of 1,000 women. 500 were business owners, 500 were not. And they found that 91% of the business owners feel fulfilled in their professional lives, while only 55% of those who haven't made the leap to business ownership felt the same way. So it's a pretty stark contrast, 91% to 55%. Should be noted in the survey, in the next decade, 80% of those respondents to the poll expect to see more women-run businesses. Current women business owners found that they were happier. 58% say they were happier. 54% say they were more confident. 54% felt more empowered than they ever were in their previous roles. Again, just working 9-to-5, the regular 9-to-5, even in a high-level professional position. Owning a business takes that to the next level. Female entrepreneurs say the top benefits of owning one's own business are a flexible schedule. 38% cited a flexible schedule. 35% said the top benefit was more work-life balance, a better work-life balance. and 30%, which is kind of interesting because I think for a lot of small business owners, especially just starting out, that work-life balance gets thrown all out of whack. But I guess after a while, you settle into a better work-life balance. And 30% of the female entrepreneurs said that the top benefit of owning one's own business was the desire to leave a legacy for their children and their grandchildren. So, celebrating small women-owned small businesses, female entrepreneurship, with International Women's Day tomorrow. And as we mentioned, second Saturday downtown. So, big salute, big shout-out to all of the women business owners. You okay?
I'm good.
Okay.
I think so.
All right. There's like 5 seconds before we go on the air. My wife says, I got to sneeze.
Hold your breath.
Welcome to my world.
Rub your nose.
It's like the worst nightmare of broadcasters everywhere. But you're good.
I think so.
All right.
I'll let you know here in a few minutes.
If you need me to hit the mute button, okay. You just let me know. It is time once again to get another collection of recipes from Kyra's Kitchen. My wife Kyra has joined us to finish up the week, and I love this first recipe.
It's really good.
It is actually a really good recipe.
I told him that what I was making, and I was like, "Hey, you wanted crazy titles,
crazy name for for the dish." It is a recipe for Italian drunken noodles.
Yes.
Okay.
Here we go. So it is 12 ounces of egg noodles cooked, 1 pound of ground Italian sausage, 1 bell pepper chopped, 1 tablespoon of minced garlic, 1 teaspoon of Italian seasoning, 1/2 cup of white cooking wine, 1 28-can of diced tomatoes, not drained, 1 tablespoon of dried basil, salt and pepper to taste, and Parmesan cheese. So add the sausage to a large pan, cook over medium-high heat, cook until the meat is completely cooked, add the chopped peppers, cook for a few more minutes, lower the heat to medium, and add the minced garlic and Italian seasoning, combine that all together, add your white cooking wine, simmer until the liquid is reduced to about half. Pour your tomatoes into the pan along with the dried basil, salt, and pepper to taste. Stir to combine. Then let that cook for a little bit. Add the cooked noodles and continue to simmer until heated through. Top with some grated Parmesan and fresh parsley if you like for a garnishment, and enjoy.
Simple as that.
It was really good.
You had the leftovers.
Yes.
The next day.
Yeah.
And they were pretty good, too.
Yeah, they were. So. Yep. I still have a little bit left. So, you know, I might be having that for lunch.
Easy to do.
Easy.
Very easy. Italian drunken noodles.
Yes.
We also had with that cheesy garlic butter roll-ups.
Yes.
And again, really easy.
Really
here.
Easy. Yeah. So 1 can, 8 ounce of refrigerated crescent rolls. 1 cup of shredded mozzarella cheese, or your favorite melting cheese, whatever you like. 1/2 cup of grated Parmesan cheese. For the garlic butter, it's 1/4 cup of unsalted butter melted, 2 cloves of garlic minced, 1 teaspoon of Italian seasoning, 1/2 teaspoon of salt, and then extra Parmesan cheese. So preheat your oven to 375 degrees. Line a baking sheet with parchment paper. Unroll the crescent roll dough and separate into the triangles. Sprinkle 1 to 2 tablespoons spoons of shredded mozzarella and a light sprinkle of Parmesan onto each of the triangles. Then roll up each of the triangles from the wide end to the tip, enclosing the cheese. Place the roll-ups on a prepared baking sheet with the seam side down. In a small bowl, mix the melted butter, minced garlic, Italian seasoning, and salt. Generously brush the garlic butter over each roll-up. Reserve some of the butter to brush once they are done. Mm-hmm. Bake the roll-ups for 10 to 12 minutes or until golden brown. And the cheese is nice and gooey and melted. Brush the baked rolls with the remaining garlic butter. Sprinkle with some Parmesan cheese if desired. Serve warm and enjoy.
Okay. So the perfect companion to the Italian drunken noodles.
Yes.
The cheesy garlic butter roll-ups.
Yes.
And for dessert... You are after my heart.
Yes, I am.
Snickerdoodle bars. Yes. I love snickerdoodles.
Yes, he does. So 2 cups of all-purpose flour, 2 teaspoons of baking powder, 1/2 teaspoon of salt, 2 teaspoons of ground cinnamon, divided, 1 cup of unsalted butter, melted, 1.5 cups of granulated sugar, plus a couple tablespoons for the topping, 2 large eggs, and 1 teaspoon of vanilla extract. So preheat your oven to 350 degrees. Line an 8x8-inch baking pan with parchment paper, letting the paper overhang the sides for easy removal later. In a medium bowl, whisk together the flour, the baking powder, the salt, and 1 teaspoon of the cinnamon. Mm-hmm. Then in a large bowl, mix the melted butter and 1/2 cup of granulated sugar until smooth. Beat in the eggs one at a time, then stir in your vanilla extract. Gradually fold the dry ingredients into the wet ingredients until just combined. Spread the batter evenly into the prepared pan. Mix the remaining 2 tablespoons of granulated sugar and 1 teaspoon of cinnamon. Then sprinkle this evenly over the top of the batter. Bake for 25 to 30 minutes or until the edges are lightly golden and a toothpick insert into the center comes out clean or with a few moist crumbs attached. You don't want to...
It doesn't have almost, to be completely clean.
It's almost like a brownie. Okay. So you don't want it to... You don't want it to be hard.
You don't want it to be too dry, too hard.
Right. So avoid over-baking to maintain the soft, chewy texture. Allow the bars to cool completely in the pan on a wire rack. Use the parchment paper overhang to lift the bars out of the pan. Then slice into squares or rectangles and enjoy.
Mm-hmm. Yes, you will enjoy, to be sure.
Yes.
So the Italian drunken noodles, the cheesy garlic butter roll-ups, and the snickerdoodle bars, those recipes are all on the Kyra's Kitchen Facebook page. And you'll note that in all of those recipes, we only use 2 eggs.
Yes.
So only 2 eggs.
Only 2 eggs.
In all of those.
Yes, so, and that was the baking part, which I like to bake.
Trying to make it a little easy on minimize the egg use there because, you know, we're all in this together.
That's right.
We all got to pitch in.
Hopefully.
Save those eggs.
Yes.
So the recipes are posted at the Kyra's Kitchen Facebook page at Kyra's Kitchen WFIN on Facebook if you want to check those out. And one other reminder, we mentioned this a couple of weeks ago on the program, but it bears repeating since we're talking about food and all this. Scouting for food is this weekend.
Yep.
So you might have gotten the door hanger last weekend when the scouts were out, you know, putting those hangers out. If you did, make sure that you get a donation out
by 8 a.m.
doorstep. Yeah, yep. Tomorrow morning.
Yep.
And those scouts will be by to collect those. And always a great event, so encourage your
participation. We try and do it every year, unless we're not here.
on Saturday, so we'll mention that too. And my wife, Kyra, thanks very much.
You're welcome.
And that will finish up our podcast for today. I want to thank all of our guests for joining us on the program this morning. Remember, you can get more information about all of the topics that we talk about each and every day on the show at our webpage. Check us out online at goodmornings.net. You can also connect with us on social media, sign up for our daily email newsletter, contact us directly. There's a link to email if there's something you want to share that way. Again, goodmornings.net. It's our little corner of the World Wide Web. So until Monday morning, that is Good Mornings for this morning. Now that you've had a good morning, gone out and make it a good day, a great weekend. We'll catch you back here next week.